Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Quarren Pod.
Quarren Pod, Bud Pestilence.
Bud Pandemic.
Bud Pandemic. I like Bud Pandemic. That's good.
Yeah, let's do Bud Pandemic.
Poddemic.
Hello, listeners. we are speaking to you from our separate homes because I am in isolation.
Yeah. What's really funny is that the last episode, we were very, very relaxed about coronavirus because it was recorded 2 weeks ago in one go with the episode before that.
And yeah, because it was a big double farter with Adam Hess.
Exactly. And I was going, oh, it'll be fine. You were avoiding news about it completely.
I just thought, oh, whatever, this is going to get sorted out. And
yeah,
it'll be like SARS or MERS, you know. It's really bad, but it's going to be like airports being closed and then it'll be fine.
And here you are eating humble pod. A slice of humble pod.
Here am I, having completely lost my entire sense of taste and smell, which is true.
But you have like a snotty thing, right?
Well, I definitely have a flu. I don't think it's the flu because it's nothing to do with my lungs.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily going to happen. Some people are very asymptomatic, so I don't know, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I've definitely been ill and it's definitely been shit and I definitely can't taste or smell anything.
That doesn't sound.
But like I really can't smell. Like I sprayed cologne all over my wrists to test it, and I held it right up to my nose, and I was like, I was really smelling.
What a dandy-esque way to check in on your health
to see if I have consumption.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I sniffed. And I could feel in my nose the alcohol evaporating, making it tingle, and that was it.
Right, okay. So, yeah, you only have, like, actual senses, like, feeling of
yeah,
motion.
And I can, Yeah, and I can taste sweetness, sourness, bitterness.
The obvious ones.
Yeah, the idiot taste.
No umami yet.
No, I haven't tried soy sauce, but I'm sure it'll be... I'm sure
seaweed is
good.
Nothing to you right now.
I can only taste like the way that a cretin would taste.
Well, that's fun. So you'll be having like school dinners again and like fish fingers.
Just everything tastes like paste. I'm trying to say it to myself like, well, if everything tastes like paste, then you can eat really healthily. Because there's literally no advantage to eating a pizza over plain steamed broccoli.
Yeah.
It's the same.
You can eat like an astronaut now.
I could eat like an astronaut. I could probably be like one of those circus people who eats a whole bicycle.
A lot of iron.
Yeah, and for once I wouldn't be picking up any of the wonderful subtle bicycle flavors.
How long have you been in isolation now?
How long have I been in isolation? Probably like 6 days.
Okay.
Five.
So you're just about to break.
I think so, yeah. And then, like, well, my whole life schedule has gone so weird, Phil, because... So, what was supposed to happen was... I was supposed to, at the end of this week, go to Melbourne for the International Comedy Festival for 4 weeks of sun, sand, and sloughs.
Yep. sun, sand, and sniggering.
And instead, that's all been cancelled. Everything's cancelled. Yeah. All the gigs I was going to do have been cancelled.
Yeah.
Machanlleth Comedy Festival, that's just been cancelled today.
Yeah. Gosh.
So that's cancelled. I imagine the various family holidays and theatre, Soho Theatre runs I'll be doing this year, those feel like they're going to be cancelled. Soho Theatre certainly shut its doors now. And... I lost my sense of taste and smell, and a close relative recently, which you know about, which is, so it's been a busy time for losing things for me, Phil.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I am sorry to hear that. when it rains, it pours.
Well, that's it. And again, it's that thing of like, you know, you and I are losing a lot of money out of this, but we're not even the worst off. Good Lord.
Oh my gosh.
Good
Lord.
Good Lord.
My work is not so much cancelled as postponed indefinitely, which, you know, it might effectively be the same thing, but currently is not. But, you know, I'm fine. But there's people, I don't know how some people are going to manage. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, Podbuds, we wish you the very best with this genuine end of the world. Like, I kept thinking, I was speaking to someone recently, and they said exactly what you said, Phil, last time about the thing where it's like in the disaster movie,
yeah,
and how it was like, now it was like the start of a zombie one where like you flick through the channels and it's like a huge increase in outbreaks, and if people are advised to stay in their homes, aim for the head, you know? Like every time you switch the channel, it's a different newsreader actor telling you something about the zombies.
Yeah.
Except now, Phil, with all the looting and hoarding, the zombies is us.
The zombies was us all along.
We were the zombies we made along the way.
Gosh. Yeah, I mean, this could either be like a feel-good Richard Curtis movie where everyone comes together and we all discover what truly combines us all as humans, or it's going to be 28 days later and it's hard to know which it's going to be yet. How much faith do you have in the human spirit, Pierre? I've never asked you this. It's about time. I'm sorry, I've never asked you this.
That's okay. How much faith do I have in the human spirit? Just in terms of basic endurance?
Endurance, decency, compassion.
Endurance, like 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, just look at history.
Yeah, that can sometimes go directly against compassion, though, can't it? Endurance.
Yes, that's true. I think I'm going to, like, pretend to have thought of this, but really I'm just kind of vaguely remembering a John Gray book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the compassion and kindness and so on is really, really high, and I have a lot of faith in it until literally everyone has a gun in their mouth. And then everyone just behaves like animals. But like, it's so extreme. It has to be like a death camp level. And even then, people are still intermittently kind. So
yeah, yeah.
It just depends, really. And it depends, like... it's quite funny that often you'll find that like the people who are going maddest and like looting are the ones who took the longest to convince it was serious. And maybe they were skeptical because...
Yeah.
Like, they're the ones who, like, up until the second that they're shooting someone in the head for toilet roll, they were going, oh, it's all just a bloody spring cold. I'll go to the pub if I feel like it.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what Donald Trump is, right? He was like, it's a hoax, there's no virus. And then when people started buying too much toilet paper, he said, no one's allowed in. No, my house. No one can come here.
Exactly. It's basically a lot of guys going like, there's nothing to worry about, while they very silently load a revolver.
Yeah.
They just go, well, I'll sort myself out, but you guys don't worry.
Yes. I mean, that was kind of us a couple of weeks ago. But now...
Well, we weren't even sorting ourselves out. We'd be loo roll kings by now if we'd been that cynical.
Yeah, we'd be the head of the... London Lural gangs.
That's right, the new London Lural. It's the new Peaky Blinders.
The paracetamol militia of Holloway Road.
Sneaky wipers.
Sneaky wipers.
You're watching the latest episode of Sneaky Wipers. I'm the Prince of Toilet Town, yeah?
I mean...
You want these fucking shit tickets, you're going to fucking pay for them.
I mean, if anything, we have... This podcast has prepared all our listeners for this very outcome, talking about loo roll, pooing, and jacking it, which people are going to be doing a lot of now.
That's true. We in a way. So yeah, exactly. Different types of shitting. They are now, our listeners are fully aware of the full human range of poo types. Like the huge rainbow of poo that's possible out there. And they
taste
are
the
prepared
rainbow.
To keep... Taste the rainbow. They're prepared to keep jacking it at all costs. And also, our discussions of video games and the noises they make.
That's right. Yeah. Spending a lot of time in bed pod.
Spend a lot of time in bed pod. if you have to self-isolate, Phil, as I'm sure we all will broadly over the next months and months, apparently. Talk me through your most diverting activities. The things to stop you looking out the window and seeing all the zombies shuffling in the street below.
Well, it usually would be cooking, but I guess I'm going to have to devise a whole new repertoire that requires only plain rice, soy sauce, and sardines. Well, that sounds all right.
I trust that you could figure something pretty good out from that.
I mean, there'll be a lot of baked beans, which you'll be happy to
get. Oh, the devil, the devil! Absent.
Well, this is when your chickens have really come home to roost. Your bean bigotry is finally biting you in the ass, because it's all that you'll have. So.
To be fair, if I have lost my sense of smell and taste permanently, then that will remove some of the main barriers to baked beans being enjoyed by me.
Well, exactly. If everything now tastes to you like a sticky mush, tuck into the BBs.
The old BBs. It's the saline like quality of their sauce I've always hated in my mouth.
Yeah, you'll still have the texture to contend.
Yeah, that will be a problem still, I think. They will be
like a badly cooked egg.
Exactly, 1,000 times. Yes. Yes, you'll have to start cooking. We'll all have to start cooking and eating a lot like we're in the Viet Cong.
Up a tree,
and at night so no one can see the smoke. In the helmet of an American soldier we've killed. Those are the ways now, Phil.
If martial law does descend, how well do you think you'll be all right?
I think so. I think there's a perverse part of me that would almost prefer martial law to trusting the British public to regulate themselves. Because the British public love a bobby on the beat. The only thing they love more than a bobby on the beat is one of our brave boys. And so if they do end up sending like military police, like MPs, around the place, then like, I don't know, the British character seems to be so obsessed with, you know how, because like during Brexit everyone was obsessed with the Blitz and obsessed with trying to overcome something horrible? Those people's dreams have just fucking come true. They must
they
be
really
so
are.
Excited, like, oh, all the food's going to be bad again, and we won't be able to go out to the pub, and oh, there's going to be soldiers telling us to move rubble, and that will be good.
It's that very strange and quite uniquely British conjunction of a protective love of their individual freedom, but also a reverence for authority.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if I saw a big, bald, angry, drunk man out in the street screaming, "It's my right to go into this closed Tesco," as he tells a policeman, "Well done for beating the shit out of him." You know what I mean? Like, good on you, boys. Oh, it's my right to be here. Nice one there. Oh, God. Oh, you really got me in the groin that time. Oh, but my right. You know,
yeah, exactly.
People here, the British love their rights, but they also love the police. People look at China and Japan and South Korea and Hong Kong, and they go, "We should do that here," forgetting somehow that the British do not have the quiet discipline
See, I think that they did a big survey. I saw, I think it was the Telegraph or the Times or someone, and there was like 83% of the public are in favor of rationing. Like the British.
But what does that mean? Do those people even know what that means?
Look, the British public are desperate to have someone kick them with a big black boot. They want it. They want because they think to them.
They're all dirty little boys and dirty little
that's
girls.
Right. They're dirty.
It's the island of dirty little boys. Oh, kick me with your boot.
Kick me with your big boot. I put a big crown on the boot. but also like I think there's a part of the psychology, and I think I have this where you think, well, I'm happy enough to queue, while a soldier tells me I can only have 4 loo rolls. Like, I don't care about that because I'm still getting more than enough loo rolls. But what I like is the idea of an imagined cunty neighbor being bullied by the army and having to be ashamed of their greed. And that's what everyone thinks is that, oh, yeah, but I'll be fine. All those other fucking shitty little cunts will have to obey now. And it's that kind of impulsive of temporary street behavior level authoritarianism. This is most authoritarian.
Oh yeah, we've been preparing everybody.
Yes, this is it. What's your most authoritarian thought? They should stop people congregating in groups of more than 10 immediately, because otherwise everyone's going to die. Oh God.
I think they've done that in Denmark. I think is it Denmark now?
With
gatherings of 10.
We're the only European country apart from North Macedon that hasn't. Stop people from going to like restaurants and clubs and bars and things.
Oh really?
Yeah, everywhere else has done it, or at least told people not to. We're a bit behind the curve, I think. But
well, they have told people not to here, but in such vague terms.
Yeah, but Boris Johnson's going like
they might as well not.
Yeah. Oh, I think it would be unwise, so try not to. Okay, bye.
That's. The thing is, because they now have daily briefings,
yeah,
where we all tune in, like the 2-minute hate
and the two-minute cough,
the 2-minute cough. We tune in as Big Boris and his two advisors, who I think will have creepy cults built around them within a matter of weeks, like creepy death cults built around these men. Because they can update us every day. They can sort of fine-tune what we're doing, right? So they can go one day, probably you shouldn't go out to a restaurant. And then the next day they go, oh, you're a bit of a dickhead, actually, if you go to a restaurant. And then the next day, it's like, you can go to a restaurant, but the waiters will all punch you in the nads.
Yeah.
And then they go, okay, no more restaurants. So they can do it like day by day, right? So
yeah, that's true.
Isn't that what's going on? Maybe that they start with a suggestion and then they're going to ramp up the severity.
Yeah, I hope it's that like planned out. I'm annoyed at Boris Johnson because like, what's the point of being like a horny, power hungry sociopath for your whole life, and then you finally become the most powerful person in the country? In actual direct terms, and you're finally there, and you're fucking your weird girlfriend in number 10, and it's great, and then this big pandemic happens, and the actual public, over 80% of them, are just like, make it the war again, just like your hero Winston Churchill, kick us with a big boot and make it the war, and he won't do it.
Isn't it his dream, though, to face a Churchillian challenge like this?
Exactly.
And to come out of it victorious. This is his wet dream.
Well, this is it, but he's not behaving like it is. He's kind of fumbling around, and he's letting his own dad go on TV this morning with Philip Schofield and go, well, I'm still going to the pub because I'm thick.
Was his dad on TV?
Yeah, and his dad's like 79, and he's like, of course I'll go to the pub. And it's like, great, this is doing really well to spread the right information. Thanks, Philip Schofield, you fucking cunt.
Imagine if Boris Johnson's dad was all part of a highly choreographed plan of they've done all the calculations, and they go, well, if my dad goes on breakfast TV and tells, we've calculated there are this many idiots in the country, and my dad will get them out, and that's just the right amount of number of people we need to get sick to get to this point by June. You know, maybe I have too much faith in in those experts.
All right, darling. You want a fucking Barocca, do you? Oh, I've got a van full of Baroccas right here. Fell off the back of a van. Not this van, a different van. I'm aware I've said the van word too many times. The word van, I mean. But, these Baroccas, they fell off the back of a van. And I picked them up and I put them in this van, which is my van. And I brought it here to the alleyway to sell the Baroccas. Yes, vitamins? Yeah, she's gone. Oh, I spoke about the logistical chain too much. People aren't interested in where it comes from. If anything, it makes them more suspicious. Oh, how likely is it that it fell out the back of a van, they must say to themselves. Oh, dear. Oh, it's hard working in the black market as a spiv.
That's the other pandemic, is there's a pandemic of a certain kind of comedian, but also a certain kind of person in general who's now becoming like Mr. Coronavirus Conspiracy Theory. And they're starting to go on Twitter and be like, well, I've done 3 seconds of searching Facebook posts on my aunt's account. And here's what I reckon about this disease and the secret government plan to do this and that and whatever.
It's never been a better time for misinformation. It is. This will be looked back on like this is the equivalent of the swinging 20s for misinformation. You know, yeah. People go, "Oh, were you around in the misinformation era? The golden year of lies."
Yeah, there'll be old people going, "Oh, I could tell a lie." And a million people would believe it.
Share it, yeah.
Have you seen there's a lot of misinformation being shared about, like, you can kill coronavirus with lemons?
Lemons, yeah.
But it starts with a Facebook post, and then I saw footage today of taxi drivers in Uganda, like, cutting up lemons and washing their hands and faces with them, and it's like, that's how far this can go.
You're just going to sting your eyes for no good reason.
You're going to have...
Great, now I've got a terrible cough and my eyes are red to shit.
I'm going to die of coronavirus and smell like a clean tiled floor. It's Pod Buds, if you're listening, if you see anyone spreading disinformation, if you know them, tell them to stop. And if you don't, fucking block them, honestly. Just delete them from your life, because those people are... Those people are like the people during the Blitz who would be like, the bombs are only falling on Catholic houses or whatever. Pieces of shit. Yeah. Oh, God.
Do continue to listen to our podcast, though.
Yeah.
Where everything is thoroughly...
where everything is fact-checked 3 times by 3 independent academic researchers, like at the New Yorker.
Yeah. all our podcasts are peer-reviewed. Among the other podcasts, yeah. We all have to submit our podcast to the others.
Yeah.
We have to send this to Off Menu and yes. My dad wrote a porno, and then they listen to it, and then they get back to us.
Yeah, and then, exactly, we get feedback from Acaster, and I don't know enough about my dad wrote a porno.
Alice Levine.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Oh, my Lord. So what are you going to do to distract yourself, Phil? Are you going to play video games? Are you going to be a video games boy?
I was looking forward to playing video games and then realized, oh, well, of course, now my sister who lives with me is working from home all the time, so I don't have the living room to myself. So I'm going to... Fortunately, I was very lazy about selling my little TV in my bedroom, so now I still have it.
Yes.
So I'm
going
to bring my little PlayStation into my room and be like a 16-year-old again.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to play Untitled Goose Game.
Oh, yeah.
And I might get Death Stranding, which now seems particularly prescient.
Yes, I'd be interested to hear what you make of Death Stranding.
Have you played it?
I have played it, yeah. It's really...
You finished it?
I've not finished it, no. My flatmate bought it, and I had a go. And I watched him...
Oh, yeah.
I watched him... It's very hypnotic to watch someone play as well. And it was very engaging, and then it gets to the point where... It's got quite an interesting storyline. I don't know. I think I'm fascinated to see which people get to the point with Death Stranding where they have an existential collapse and they realize that they're just simulating being a postman.
Yeah.
But yes, you could download GTA and just drive around obeying all the traffic lights. That's fun.
I think I have the GTA somewhere. What else? I have a lot of books. Can't wait to not read those.
I have a huge pile of books. Even. Yeah, I think.
I reckon if we get through this and I've still not finished the books in my house, I think I just have to conclude that I don't like reading. I mean, how much more of an opportunity can a person be given?
If you go outside, you will die, or people you know will die. Read these books. No.
I'll take my chances. Bye.
I've been scrolling through the Twitter content gambling machine all day. I don't have time for books. I think if you come out the other side of this and you still haven't read all those books, you have to eat the books.
Yes, okay, that's good.
That's your incentive. If you go like, well, it's either going in my brain or in my stomach.
What about you? What are you going to do?
I also have a big ass pile of books. I have a big ass pile of books. I just got a new laptop. And I just bought Civilization 6, so that's a good 10,000 hours of my life in the toilet. It's so beautiful. The game is so beautiful. It's a beautiful game. It's so nice looking.
Great.
So pretty.
Can't wait for the coronavirus DLC.
Yes, exactly. I think playing Civilization 6 is good, though, because when we rebuild society, I could be like, yeah, we need to harvest the diamonds. Diamonds are good. They give your civilization a bonus or whatever the fuck.
Hey, how's the Isle of Man doing right now? Is it an effective quarantine zone?
Anyone who arrives on the Isle of Man, 2 weeks isolation immediately, and they've cancelled the TT races, which is like the event of the year. It's massive.
They've
completely cancelled it, and they should, because if it gets to the Isle of Man, like the Isle of Man healthcare system is not ready, and it has a very old population, and like it would be so bad. And so my parents were supposed to come visit me in London as well, and they can't do that now. They're stuck there in the house, but that's okay for now. It's all getting very crazy actually.
It's all getting a bit real.
I might start, like, I might genuinely start. I had this idea. Did I tell you my YouTube idea?
That you were going to come up with YouTube, and then they beat you to it.
Yeah. But aside from, because they came into my dream.
I remember years ago you were saying, Phil, I've got this amazing idea for a cinema in the clouds. And I'd say, you're crazy. And you said, anyone can put their videos and movies up. And I said, get back in your cave.
I remember. I grabbed you by the lapels and I said, no, Phil, listen. An ordinary, unemployed, middle-aged man could start watching videos of interesting car crashes. And by the end of the day, he's a Nazi. It's going to be brilliant. I might...
But yeah, That one didn't work out. So what's your new novel YouTube idea?
I can do drawings and art.
Sure.
I might try and do my own like Bob Ross thing.
Yes, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I just film myself doing little horrible doodles, but talking about them in as soothing a way as Bob Ross. So just like, and then we'll draw him with his head exploding. That's nice. That's good. Just things like that.
really calm narration over really horrible images.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that could be fun. I mean, I literally have nothing in my diary thanks to these cancellations for the next 5 weeks, 6 weeks.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't have anything for. Yeah, I mean, my whole. I'm not sure what's happening. Still waiting
for Theatre Run. So many Bud Pods have bought tickets for that. Thank you, but we'll see what happens with that. I think I'm going to get really good at push-ups. Once I get better, I'm going to start doing a guy locked in a prison cell level number of push-ups.
Can you imagine if we didn't have the internet right now?
Jesus, I mean...
Can you imagine? What on earth would...
We read the...
It should be the end. That would be the end.
We'd read the dictionary? A lot?
But I mean, even like people wouldn't be able to work from home. You can order delivery of anything. Yeah, it'd be insane. You'd just have to be on the phone. You'd have to be like calling Uber Eats on the phone.
Wouldn't even be...
I mean, I guess that's fine.
It wouldn't even be Uber Eats. You'd have to be like calling the actual place. Every restaurant has to have one delivery driver now, etc. Mm. And also, like, the government would have to ring you with like a government phone call. You know, with the information, they'd have to pick it up and it'd be like, this is like, beep-boo. It would play the emergency tone. Beep-boo-boo, this is the government. Stay in your fucking house.
Imagine Boris Johnson had to personally call everyone in the UK.
Stay indoors. Unless you don't want to.
Yeah, that was a crazy thing about his announcement yesterday. I mean, Podbuds, by the time you hear this, I'll be another. But in the last one, he said, if you're showing any symptoms, if you're in a household, quarantine yourself for 14 days and don't leave, not even to, except to get essentials, or maybe not even to get essentials, but you can leave if you need to do some exercise. And it's like, what? It's okay to leave to do exercise.
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of policy is that?
Also, if you're worried...
Imagine you're running around, like, coughing, and the police are like, oi, should you be out? And you just instantly start doing squats, and they're like, can't touch him.
Also, it's like, the one thing, when I have a respiratory illness, Phil, and my lungs are collapsing in on themselves, I need to go for a jog. That's all that will keep me sane. But yeah, it's amazing that, like, he can stand on a podium and be like, a lot of our family and relatives are going to die. This is the most serious thing since the war. We are at war. But don't worry about it if you don't want to. That's okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh no! I think it's fine. Do you trust the two chief, the chief medical officer and the chief scientist? The medical officer does seem nerdy enough that I trust him.
They're like a good. They look sort of trustworthy, I suppose. But then like they can't say anything without Boris Johnson saying that that's what they're going to say. So they're still kind of like slaved to this fat, horny sociopath idiot.
Every time you describe Boris Johnson, everything varies except the word horny.
He's so horny.
He's always horny.
He can't stop coming in women and making children. He doesn't even know he doesn't even know how many there are. How many kids do you have, and are they infected with coronavirus? That's the new question to ask him.
Is that why he's not closing schools? Because he can't bear the thought of them all coming home. Prime Minister, we really have to close schools. The clever thing is to allow some amount to spread.
He's there going, the sheer number of beds that hospitals need is, we don't have enough beds in hospitals or in my house.
for all of the children to sleep in. We're looking at what experts call a Charlie Bucket, Willy Wonka scenario. All sleeping in a big bed. Oh, my fucking God.
So what are you going to do tomorrow on day 7? Are you going to go outside? Have you literally not been outside for a week?
I have been to the shops. Uh-huh. To buy essentials as per the government advice.
Yep.
I might get my hair cut and I might shave my whole beard off.
What? Yeah, why not?
I don't,
the virus has nowhere to hide.
It has nowhere to hide on my face. And yeah. I don't have to be on stage, so I don't need to look like myself for fucking 6 weeks, which is more than long enough to grow my beard like 1.5 times, twice, I don't know. Let's find out.
Although you will look less intimidating for the Luro gang trials.
If I have to face up against the sneaky wipers with a bare face, that's true. I'm hoping that if I do shave it off, I won't have to face up against the sneaky wipers for like 3 days, because like 3 day stubble's pretty good. Look good for toughness.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Action hero stubble. And yeah, and also, if I want to seem intimidating, I'll just cough.
Yeah, of course.
Unless
they're immune. This is the thing, right? People like Idris Elba currently has coronavirus. He's not showing symptoms, obviously, because he's Idris Elba,
and he's beaten up coronavirus.
Obviously, Stringer Bell is not going to be coughing. All his antibodies are tiny Idris Elbas, just like they're just tiny loofahs.
Yeah,
he's got a bunch of loofahs.
DCR John Loofah, you're fucking nicked, son.
He's just grabbing one of those the coronavirus by the spikes and pulling them behind their hands and coughing them. But now he's going to be immune. So. Do you think like there's going to be an Ubermensch culture around people who have had the virus and are now immune?
Like,
will we get like badges?
Oh, maybe it'll either be Ubermensch culture or it'll be like maybe it'll get so bad that the government will be like, if you've had it and you're immune now, you get to, you know, we're conscripting you to do all this work because you can't get sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll be like the guy pulling the plague cart in the Black Death. Bring out your dead, because that guy's recovered from it.
Oh, is that right?
Well, like, they didn't know that, but like...
They just thought some people are magically invulnerable to it.
Well, or just some people just recovered from it. Like, it you know, it didn't kill everyone. So some people would like, God, that was a bad bout of plague. Oh, anyway. And, you know, that's who we're descended from.
Of course. Gosh, yeah. I'd love to be immune. I would not be gracious about it at all.
Going around licking subway poles.
Yeah.
I sort of hope that, like, whatever I've had is it, because then I'm done. Like, I finish my exam.
I know, but I have to say it doesn't sound like it.
The trouble is that, like, there's a lot of conflicting information where, like, everyone else is saying, oh, it has to be respiratory. And then I got sent... some World Health Organization stuff, and they were like, oh yeah, a cough or like shortness of breath in 68% of cases.
Mm.
So that's like 2/3. So yeah, I don't know. Only time will tell.
Well, do you have a fever?
I did have one, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I mean, hey, look, if we have to do another bud pod where it's like I'm doing it from hospital and everyone's going, stop podcasting in the background. Then you know that it wasn't it this time and I had to get it again.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what they're trying to do now. They're trying to come up with a test to see if you've already had it. And so they can spot the Ubermenches.
Yes, and then you get to go around delivering fruits and vegetables to people or something. Or will you be excused from that duty because you could be spreading it without realizing?
Well, isn't that once you're immune, you will no longer actually be harboring the virus? You could spread it by contact, but not actually by carrying it.
I don't know. I hope so. It all seems very vague, and I can't help but wish, Phil.
Because I think if you become immune, then the virus can't reproduce in your body. Isn't that right? So then,
yeah. Well, they think
again. Please, no one take this as gospel.
Well, that's it. They think so, but like we still don't even know enough about the virus to know if it will reinfect or if it's like other flus or anything. It's all just mystery time, and I can't help but wish, Phil, that the Chinese government, when this first emerged in Wuhan in November, if you can believe that, November. Think about how much this was not a thing in November.
Yeah.
That's when the Chinese government could have started dealing with this instead of punching doctors in the stomach going, you never saw no virus, see? Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And that's why there's all those conspiracy theories about like, oh, the Chinese government made the virus to... Someone said, that a friend of theirs has said the Chinese government made the virus to suppress the Hong Kong protests.
Wow.
And I was saying like, oh yeah, because the Chinese government sitting there going, God, if only there was a simpler, more direct way of crushing dissent.
we've got all these guns and tanks lying around, but I don't see what help they would be.
Oh God, if only we had big camps where we literally kidnap people and lock them up without any problems. Oh, well, have to make a big flu.
and put ourselves at risk.
Yeah, also, where should we make the flu? In Hong Kong, where we're going to use it? No. No, let's make the big flu really far away in our area and just jizz it around. That would be good.
God, it's a good time for conspiracy theorists.
Man, is it ever. Like, ever since 2016, things have gotten really weird.
I was thinking this. They definitely have, haven't they? They've objectively. Because is it just a quirk of history that everyone thinks they're living in the most bizarre time? I don't think it is, is it?
I think it mostly is, but just not now. Because like even now, loads of academics and medical professionals and historians are saying like, no, this is as epochal and big as the Spanish flu in 1918 combined with the stock market crashes of all the previous years. Like, it's so many things happening at once. And there's an oil war and refugee crisis and global warming. Like, there's so many things going on.
But, I mean, have you seen how much better the atmosphere is in because of this virus?
Have you seen the Venice canals?
No.
The canals in Venice are clear and they're full of fish and loads of swans have come back.
Wow,
They look beautiful. They look like rivers from a tropical paradise.
And the irony is this disease almost certainly originated in an animal. Maybe it's an animal conspiracy.
It's those fucking animals again.
I told you we should have eaten them all.
Right, if we...
We spared you money.
If you'd all got your shit together and eaten them all during Christmas, this wouldn't have happened.
Every bean burger you've had was a nail in my coffin. I hope you're happy, vegetarians.
Wait a minute. This tofu salesman is wearing a mask. Oh, who's underneath? Oh my God, it's a battery hen. We would have got away with it.
I mean, how few flights there are now. God, if BA folds after all the effort I've put into collecting points over the last couple of years, I will feel very silly. The amount of hours I've spent collecting air miles, useless currency.
You'll be like some guy going like, this drawer full of Zeppelin vouchers is useless.
I've been making fun of hoarders all this time, and meanwhile, I've just been painstakingly accruing a virtual currency that had little value to begin with, and probably none at all by the time we're out of this.
We can all agree it's very funny what's happened to Bitcoin.
Fuck, I was thinking the other day, oh shit, what happened to Bitcoin?
Crashed again.
Really, it's not done well out of this.
No.
I thought it would done better out of this, because people are like, well, we need an alternative currency.
No, everyone's just gone, that wacky internet shit can go fuck itself. Where's the gold?
Oh, fuck,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, very much so.
Sorry to any podbuzz out there who've invested in Bitcoin. I very stupidly dabbled in Bitcoin for 1 week, I think it became two, because I was very hungover one day, and I thought, oh, this Bitcoin thing seems to be a good idea. I guess I should try my hand at something I have no experience or knowledge in now when I'm really hungover and I feel sad and I've got a headache. And so I bought a bunch of money's worth of Bitcoin at what turned out to be a peak in its value.
Oh,
it then crashed
God.
In the afternoon. I lost £200 in an hour.
Oh my God.
I thought, well, the good thing to do when you've lost value is sell, right? So I sold it and had a loss of £200. And I thought, well, oh no, I need to make it back. So I bought it all back again.
No.
And I spent the next 2 weeks sort of buying and selling and buying and selling, getting zero sleep, looking at the value of Bitcoin every minute.
Oh my
God.
And
eventually, over a fortnight, I got my money back. And actually made a profit of £35.
Fucking hell, man.
But it wasn't not... If someone said, would you like £35 to have the most stressful fortnight of your life? I'd have gone, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
No, you're like, my salary is £35 every 2 weeks as a Bitcoin trader. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, and the stock market's crashing and all this. This is definitely, like, we're living through one of the biggest, you know, historical events simultaneously ever. Like, it's a very, very, it's a very, very big deal.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that Japan still thinks the Olympics are going to happen, and like, surely
not.
Glastonbury's
still scheduled to go ahead.
Get fucked. They're just pissing around waiting for the government to make them cancel it, surely.
But I mean, at this point, with the rate of change, like 3 months ahead is a long amount of time.
Yeah, but all the, like, if have you seen that Imperial College London study that came out?
No.
It's bad, Phil. It came out yesterday, and it's why the government's changed its mind. Because it's based on all the new data from Italy, because Italy's the country with the most free open data with a Western system similar to ours. And it's... the study is basically like managing this is not going to work. If we keep pissing around and letting people do what they like and hoping they stay indoors and kind of just live as normal, it's going to be like hundreds of thousands of deaths, not just from the virus, hundreds of thousands, but from like the beds being full, you know, like the hospital being too busy. And they said, if we just move to suppression, like everyone in your fucking house now, then the peak will be, you know, June, July, and it's going to keep deaths to around like 20,000 or below, they hope. So
right.
It's all changed. Like it's that's why so much more stuff's being cancelled today, because it's just looking so deeply impossible and unlikely. And even if it goes ahead, no one will want to go, right?
Well, exactly, but all you can do at this point is wait for new information, because info keeps coming out. But then I was talking to, I mean, this is the problem. There's so many conflicting sources. I was talking to a doctor who said that South Korea has the best results, and South Korea is pursuing the strategy most similar to us. So, I mean, it's so unprecedented, and it's going to affect different countries differently. It's just so hard to know. And the thing is, I think everyone's tempted to think that there's a correct answer. There isn't. Every single solution is going to have a different price to pay. So I think it's not particularly useful to be going, no, this is the best answer, this is the best answer. I think you just have to kind of like pick what you're willing to risk and go with it.
Yeah. And Well, I was going to say do what the government says, but I would say currently be more cautious than the government is saying. And like, even if South Korea is good, like we're more similar to Italy than South Korea, especially given that like our NHS was kind of on the verge of being overwhelmed every winter, even without this. So,
well, at least we're out of winter now.
Well, that's the good thing. Yeah. Summer loving.
And they've started human trials in America for a vaccine. I think it's like unprecedentedly quick.
But yeah,
God. It will be months.
It will be months. Oh, my word. Oh, boy. Maybe I'm going to get real good at push-ups and drawing.
And hey, we'll always have podcasts.
We'll always have podcasts. That's right. You cannot stop Bud Pod.
Imagine if we all emerge out of this the most well-informed, well-read. Like, when people emerge from their homes in a few months, or years, we will know every single detail of every single murder of all time.
And we will have seen all of the funniest police videos. And all of the...
I mean, it is time at last to catch up with everything. It reminds me of that... do you know the Twilight Zone, the classic episode, Time Enough at Last?
Yes, for reading, yes.
When this man never gets enough time to read, and then he locks himself in a bank vault, just as all the nuclear bombs hit, and he's the only person left, and he discovers a library, and he goes, enough, yes. I can finally read all these books, and he sorts them all out, and then his spectacles fall to the ground and smash. And he goes, but it's not fair. It's not fair. I finally had time. I finally had time. And then Roger Serling goes, witness a man. Yeah.
It's going to be that. And also, like, hope your internet doesn't cut out, because this is an opportunity, Phil, because I don't know if you knew this, Phil, but kids say the funniest things, but have we heard them all? That's the real thing.
Kids might say the funniest things, but do adults hear the funniest things?
Let's
write that wrong.
Let's find out. But the real question, Phil, here, which we've both been ignoring, the really big question, you know what it is?
Mm.
Has anyone tried turning 2020 off and on again?
Oh, no! I didn't see that coming at all! Shit! God's sake.
We haven't seen that anywhere, have we?
No, I think...
It's too serious for that horseshit.
Yes, this has become serious even for those silly fucks. But hey, what do you reckon? Should we read a correspondence? I mean, at this time, I'm actually quite relieved that we are such a backlog.
Likewise.
Because we can read correspondence from a simpler, happier time. Although it might not have felt to like it.
Ring. Letters, emails, phone numbers, correspondence.
Correspondence. So,
correspondence.
Tom with a TH gets in touch. Thom.
Hi, Tom. Tom Thumb.
Tom
Thumb.
He's been in touch before, and he's a regular. Tweet friend. So he says, hello, friends, which is nice.
That's nice.
Just as Pierre sees jazz musician names everywhere, it's true. I have started to notice as yet unassigned euphemisms.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very good, very good, yes.
Particular hotbeds for these are the same kinds of stores you'd find classic tat for sale, e.g. out of town budget home stores. Here are three I found recently. I hope you enjoy them. And if you wish to assign them a meaning, go ahead.
Okay.
Scatologically yours, Tom. Or Thom. Also, no thanks for the chocolate block recommendation. It just tasted like wine.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, that's a shame. I assure you, Thom, it was very good wine. You had very good wine.
Yeah. I mean, I've lost my sense of smell and taste, so and I'm now on Team Thom until it comes back, if ever.
Yeah, man.
So
you can. That's the thing. You can buy very cheap wine now, and it tastes exactly.
Oh,
the same.
I could just drink just ethanol and water. Let's see. So here are the euphemisms, Phil.
Okay.
The first one appears to be a pet care product, and it's called Fur Lifter.
Oh, you got to look out for Greg. He's a real fur lifter, if you know what
this
I mean.
This bar's full of fur lifters. What's a fur? What would a fur lifter be?
Someone who has a kink for very heavy pubic hair.
I was just thinking that, yes. So, like, male or female in any direction, the idea is, like, you have to lift up the fur to get at the genitals.
Yeah, like you're revealing a tropical cave behind some verdant vines. You know? the kind of thing that's in the Uncharted or something. You
know, yes.
Push aside some vines.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah, I think, okay, so that's a fur lifter. So, okay, the next one is a cooking utensil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called a yolkster egg poacher.
A yolkster?
Yeah.
I don't quite see the euphemism there.
A yolkster. I'm going to say it's a German prank. Unless a German prankster.
A yolkster, yes, of course. Or someone who puts yolks onto cattle.
Yeah, someone who regularly overburdens others.
yes.
He's a real yolkster.
I mean, I know he's going through a tough time, but he's been a real yolkster about it.
Yeah.
He's like, I got my shirt too, you know.
Yeah, fucking yolkster.
Yolkster.
This one is good. A woof glider.
What is that? What is that in real life?
It looks like a kind of dog frisbee.
Okay.
A woof glider.
A woof glider. Oh, man. All I'm seeing is like a dog mortuary where they pull out, you know, in the mortuaries, they pull out the bit from the fridge where the bodies are. And
this is our woof glider.
And there's a kid. Yeah, there's a kid there, and the doctor doesn't want the kid to get too sad. Well, the vet doesn't want the kid to get too sad. And the kid's like, what's that? Oh, well, this is just a woof glider. It glides the woof into the fun wall.
Into the fun wall where that stays forever now. And what it's all like, it's all done up in like colorful plastic, like a kid's toy. And as you pull it out the wall, it goes like, boop. that's given me this horrible image of like a dog in like a mortuary table, but it's lying down the way a human would with its arms and legs straight.
Yeah, like flat on its back.
Yeah,
looking up, yeah, with a sheet up to its neck.
Yes, exactly. Yes, but its arms are like by its sides somehow, and its legs are down.
And the family is there to identify the body.
God.
Yes, that's.
Or it's.
Yes, that's Mr. Speckles. That's him.
It's just the CSI team going like, "Who would do this?" Oh my God, a woof glider. I think a woof glider, Phil, would be a good euphemism for someone involved in a world in which you are very popular, which is pup play.
Oh God, yes, I got tweeted by pup people, which was a kink I didn't even know existed, and I wish I didn't know existed.
They're like big leather dog people? What's it made from?
Yeah.
Latex, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and they look like sort of kinky dog superheroes. It's very odd.
They've got, and they, but to be fair, their masks in the current epidemic look very enviably hygienic. But they were listeners. They were complimenting Phil for his jumpsuit, which is nice of them.
Yes, but it's not. I wouldn't say it's dog-like in any way. I mean, you can see my dick and balls like a dog, but that's where the comparison ends, really.
I don't know if they look that dog-like. I don't think I'd get them confused. I wouldn't be like, oh, that's a lovely dog. Wait a minute.
Whoa.
That's a horny guy.
Oh, my God.
Not
again.
He sure is friendly. Okay, so.
Yeah, what else? What
so
else?
That was it. There was Woof Glider was the last one.
Thanks, Thom.
That was very good, Thom. Holly gets in touch.
Holly, very jolly.
Very jolly. Dear Phil and Pierre, I'm composing this email at 4:30 a.m. After experiencing a very delirious OK Thank You moment.
Oh, great. A fresh OK Thank You.
Yeah. I'm in my mid-20s and living in a student flat, so as you can tell, my life has turned out just fine. it's funny, isn't it? Mid-20s and student, it's not that many years, but it's a big gap.
It is a big gap, but like so much so that I just thought there, why? What's wrong with that? I guess it just means you're a mature student, which, and like the 25-year-old when you're 19 looks like they're fucking 68.
A 25-year-old when you're 19 is like Gandalf. Smoking a long pipe and speaking in cryptic riddles like pay your taxes, self-assessment, things like that. So she continues, this evening some strangers had found themselves by some instance of sheer fucking luck in my flat and then decided to move the dining table from the kitchen to directly outside my bedroom door. That is odd.
Like to trap her in.
It's not clear why. To move it out of the way or to hang out literally outside her room and trap her? How weird. The core of my being wanted to tell them to fuck themselves sky high. But instead I opened the door, saw the table, made eye contact with the strangers that had boxed me into my own room, and merely said, okay, thank you.
They was helping yourself isolate.
Yes.
They knew.
Yes.
They knew
what was coming. Before closing the door bewildered, she says,
Holly, did these strangers look Chinese, perchance?
Were they wearing terrifying gas masks? So she said, okay, thank you, before closing the door bewildered. Keep on jacking it, for the love of God.
We will.
Holly. Well, we won't have a choice. It'll be one of the few forms of exercise that won't require us to leave the house.
Yeah. Archaeologists in the future will discover all these skeletons, and the tear marks on the bones will suggest a uniquely large amount of muscle mass around the right wrist.
Yes, that's right. It's going to be like, wow, everyone's doing some really painfully hard high fives now that we're cured. Shall we do one more?
One more. My laptop's running out of battery. We'll adding suspense and drama.
We'll make it a long pod for the a long pod for the pod-entine.
Yes.
George from Brixton gets back in touch.
Brix George.
I'm almost certain I mean back in touch. Anyway, the subject line is a poo poo belly amber story to share.
A poo poo
belly what? Amber.
Belly amber, okay.
Or a poo poo slash belly amber story to share. I'm not quite sure.
Like code amber?
I think so.
That's how bad the poo was. Okay.
Unless it's about an American girl.
Or his poo fossilized into a beautiful gold nugget.
A beautiful gold nugget that can carry a static charge.
Oh, really?
Yes, and over 90%.
And the mosquito with dinosaur blood.
Yes, and we can bring them back and they can cure the virus. So he says, hey, butt squats.
Very good.
Very funny. It's George from Brixton. Hooray.
Hi, George.
Love the show and thought you might like this scatologically vibrant story from my past.
Lovely.
Although it's nearly 10 years old, it's all painfully true and it still makes my cheeks hot when I think of it. But which cheeks? hot bum cheeks of embarrassment. You never know. I went up to visit a mate. I went up to visit at a mate up north. What? I went to visit a mate up north at her uni for the weekend and enjoyed a number of poisons.
That's funny.
I got up early on the Sunday to get my train back and boarded the train to London, sitting in one of those four-seaters, the poor man's VIP booth.
Oh, lovely. Poor man's business class. Yes, please.
I was enjoying a remarkably fresh head despite the rancid filth I put in me. This is what experts call a false dawn.
A false dawn. This is good. A lot of great terminology
here. Excellent work. An elderly couple joined me at the table and the train set off. But at that moment, the previous night's Blue Wickeds, Sambucas and the Lancaster Kebab, not a euphemism. Although that would be a good euphemism. I hope Thom enjoys that.
Yes. I want to add to the list.
So the Blue Wicked, Sambuca's, Lancaster Kebab all returned to the present. The nausea hit me like an elephant gun filled with dog shit. And I asked the lady if I could have her plastic bag. Alarmed at the sight of what probably looked like a sweating, half-finished waxwork, she emptied the bag and handed it to me. I immediately threw up in it. However, I hadn't realized it had four small holes in the bottom, which she pointed out as the hot sick poured out in streams.
No! Of course, in the corners there.
Yes! To the best of my abilities, I tried to plug the holes with my fingers like a clumsy bagpiper. That's a great euphemism, the clumsy bagpiper.
I imagine like a sort of a lint chocolatier sort of squeezing the, you know, those chef bangs of cream.
Yeah, he's doing a little twist of vomit on a cake. and shuffled my way down to the toilets, vomit down my lap and dripping down my wrists onto the floor. I got into the toilet. I got in, dropped the bag into the toilet and washed my hands. There was still evil in me. Above and so below, and my guts felt like a dying star. I needed a full body evacuation, so I dropped my trousers and sat on the toilet. It was like a primordial tar. A foul ichor. I think it's ichor.
Ichor, what's that?
It's like essence or guts. Oof. The smell was quite astonishing and had me gagging again. I needed to get out. So I reached for the toilet paper and realized there was none. There was none at all.
Prescient.
Yes, very prescient. Again. There were, however, a few loose sheets on the floor.
Oh, no!
In various states of decay.
Oh, man, I have from in my lower moments eyed up jealously the sanitary product bin.
Oh, yeah, you just think... That's an option.
You think that'll be okay? That'll be right. Okay. I'd rather use the white bits.
Oh god. Biohazard or what? So he says, in various states of decay, piss soaked and soiled, I peeled a couple of them up, scavenging what I could, and using every available centimeter, breaching the hull once or twice.
Oh my god.
Breaching the hull. Fucking hell. Star Trek. I did the best I could with what I could find, and I flushed the toilet. Unfortunately, the bag of sick caused a blockage.
Oh, what, you put the whole bag in?
Yeah, he just chucked the bag of sick in the bog.
Oh no, you mustn't put plastic in the toilet.
Unfortunately, the bag of sick caused a blockage that saw the bowl rapidly fill with this caustic gravy. Kebab chunks and oily shit rose to the rim.
Oh, fuck. Horrible.
I wanted to cry and die at the same time. It didn't overflow, but it didn't recede. I couldn't bring myself to do anything about it. The smell was indescribable, so I just needed to get out. I washed my hands and opened the door. As I stumbled down the aisle, I could hear the other passengers comment on the smell. The flash sweat.
The worst.
Yeah, that's the worst. Everyone in the
like a kid again.
Everyone in the train going, Jesus Christ! The flash sweat on my pale face turned to a throbbing red heat as everyone looked at me. As I sat down, the old lady asked if I was okay, and I wanted to cry. She bought me a can of Coca-Cola and some crisps and some water.
Oh, that's nice.
I spent the rest of the journey watching people open the toilet door, cover their faces, and go to the next carriage.
Man. Well, it's a good way to get your free four seats back.
Fucking hell. Well, I mean, God, that's everything. If we hadn't had that incredible nadir in the last episode, that might be one of, that's top five.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, and we
all have a story like that. Yes. From my uni days, not necessarily that.
But
bad.
The detail of having to harvest the floor sheets. Peeling them off.
And God.
That's like some
end of communism shit right there.
Yeah. So he says, so I hope you enjoyed it more than I did at the time. Big fan of the show, particularly Pierre's velvet baritone.
Man, another compliment for Pierre's voice.
Yes.
I've still got nothing for mine.
And Phil's gasping laugh. There you go.
Thank you.
So please, please keep on jacking it, George.
Thanks, George. We will do.
I did forget something. We actually got a little extra message from the Caroline who shat her own pussy.
Oh my god, okay. I'm fast running out of battery.
Okay, so she just said she's overwhelmingly touched to hold the accolade of the Nadir.
Yeah.
And is very tempted to send the episode to all of her friends to claim the horror and glory, but is very conflicted about that. And she just says thank you for the very kind words about her writing, because she's also trying to do some more writing.
Wow.
And it's very
Please
good.
Please do. Absolutely good enough.
And she says, my excellent boyfriend listened to the episode and simply messaged me to say, well, that included some details of which I was previously unaware.
Yes. In Bud Pod Veritas. In Bud Pod,
Veritas. Well, that's the episode for this week. Good luck and stay safe, everyone. Stay not infected. Stay indoors.
And stay cheery where you can.
And keep jacking it, for God's sake.
Yes, keep jacking it. We'll be here. We'll always be here for you. We'll see you all next week.
See you next week, guys. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.